Some people don't believe in God. They don't believe there is a God. They're the minority, but there are people like that. Many more people believe that there is a God and would profess that they believe in God, but he's not that important to them because he doesn't seem to do anything other than hold things in existence. I think a lot of people, even those who profess some faith, fall into that category where God is not a significant part of their daily experience, or they don't think about him that much. Now, people like that often turn to God when something goes wrong. When the disaster strikes, or someone gets sick, or someone dies, all of a sudden they realize, oh, I better ask God about this. People who come to daily Mass don't fit into those two categories. People who come to daily Mass, like ourselves, believe in God and want to follow him, trust in him, want to grow in holiness, want to grow in obedient faith and humility. But we're not always that good at it because we get distracted and we have ideas that don't seem to fit what God has in mind, and so it doesn't always work out. But then there are people who not only have great faith, but they put their faith into practice to a great extent. Today's saint is a very good example, St. Thomas Aquinas. Of course, he was a genius, so that's one thing, but not every genius is a saint, right? And we didn't canonize Einstein, we didn't canonize Stephen Hawking. But Thomas Aquinas, who is not only a genius, he's also a very holy man. He put his gifts at the service of God. And the reason why we honor him as a saint and as a doctor of the church is because of his holiness, not because of his brilliance. Although we're very grateful to God for his brilliance, Thomas Aquinas' brilliance, because we get the benefit of it because Thomas made it available to the church. Anyway, he's someone who bore much fruit because he submitted himself so humbly to God. So we have all these categories of people, and today's parable helps us understand why things are like this. This is the parable of the sower. It's very familiar to us, but it's a profound reflection or revelation on what is really going on here with the different kinds of people and why there's such a variety of responses to God. So this is not a parable about farming. It's a parable about the Word of God and its impact on us, on the hearts of people who receive it. It's an especially important parable for members of the Anuim community or people who follow the Anuim spirituality, because we are dedicated to pondering the Word. So pondering the Word is to strive to be good soil for the Word. Now, I know from personal experience, and I know from talking to many people, that we have a variety of responses to the Word because God doesn't do what we want him to do. Or he doesn't do it at the time that we want him to do it. And that's troubling to us. We're tempted to do it ourselves, or to try to rush the process, or we put a certain judgment on God for not being that good at making things grow. This is where we have to change, right? We are not being good soil if we're imposing on the Word our own timetable or our own expectations. Imagine the soil saying, this isn't the seed I wanted. I wanted to grow a mango tree and you planted an Atis tree. Well, that's not up to the soil. That's not the soil's choice, right? The sower is the one who decides what seed is planted in our hearts. The soil's job is to receive the seed and give it an opportunity to grow. You can imagine the soil saying that this seed is taking too long. It's not growing fast enough. Well, that's not up to the soil. The soil can't make the seed grow faster. So you see the brilliance of this parable in identifying us as soil. There is some aspect of our fruitfulness that is our responsibility, but there's a lot that's not ours. We don't decide when the seed is planted, we don't decide which seed is planted, and we don't decide the timing according to how that seed bears fruit. That's where humility comes in, where poverty of spirit comes in, to provide the seed with soil to grow according to God's timing and God's plan. In today's first reading, we hear about King David, who wants to build a temple for the Lord. Great idea. And the Lord himself says, yes, I do want a temple built in my name, but not now and not by you. So David has to accept, well, what I thought was a good idea is not the Lord's idea. The temple is going to be built by your son, the king, the one who becomes king after you. But then in the first reading, God reveals to David, he has something much more in mind than simply building a temple. He is establishing on David a kingdom that will last forever. Now we know that no earthly king lasts forever. The kingdom of David, in the earthly sense, ended centuries ago. So this prophecy is not only about David's family, his successors, and the kingdom that resided in Israel. No, it's even more a prophecy about the coming of the Messiah, Jesus Christ, who is the King of Kings, and his kingdom does last forever. So you can see how David's little idea about building a temple was a fragment of God's great plan. But David didn't know, he didn't know that. He didn't know what God had in mind until God revealed it. And even when God revealed it, David didn't understand it. In fact, he didn't always follow it that well. As great a man as he was, David, as we will read about in the days to come, he has his own very, very grave weaknesses and sins. So you can see how it is with the soil. God, who is a very generous sower, has to work with what we give him. If we are hard of heart, if we're stubborn, if we're refusing to believe, well then we're like a footpath, and God still gives the seed. That's one of the parts of this parable that's so surprising. This sower throws seed everywhere in abundance. He wastes a lot of it, planting it in places where it doesn't seem to have any hope of being fruitful. But that's God's generosity, his abundant love. So, but if we're a footpath, that seed gets wasted, and it's not God's fault. If we are shallow, if we have superficial ideas about God, or we're not willing to listen more deeply, well then, yes, we'll welcome God's word, because there's something tremendous about the word, enlightening, inspiring, challenging. But then, before long, maybe even before we get into our car, we've forgotten it, because we have other things to do. And you know how easy that is. You know? In the chapel, it's usually possible to focus, although even during Mass, people get distracted. But once you walk out of the chapel, get into the tricycle, or get into the car, or walk down the street, whew, it's gone. Shallow soil. And I think this is the most common among people who are striving. This third type of soil, which is the soil that has the thorns. Yes, there's good soil, but there's other stuff growing there. There's social media, there's concern about money, there's concern about family difficulties, there's questions about what's going on in the government and in society, there's old classmates calling you up, there's all kinds of other things. But Jesus describes as worldly anxiety, the lure of riches, and the craving for other things. All these intrude and choke the word. So if you experience the word being choked, and I think we all know this feeling, I sit down, I ponder the word, I realize that this is a word for me, I know what God wants, at least I have a sense of what God wants me to do, but before lunch it's already choked off by so many other things. You get to the end of the day and realize, that word got choked. That's the problem, right? We're allowing other things to intrude on the unfolding of the plan of God. Now, one of the things that intrudes on the unfolding of the plan of God is our own plan and our own timetable. Like David, he wanted to build a temple and he wanted to do it now. Well, if he clung to that too tightly, he would interfere with the unfolding of God's plan. And when we want things according to our will more than we want the will of God, then we're going to choke off the work. But the example, the great encouragement here is that it's possible to be rich soil. God wants us to be rich soil. In fact, he's certainly made it possible for us to bear much fruit. And we have hope because of what God does. He plants good seed. He has a good plan. He has a good timetable. And he's working this out. Don't be impatient with seeds. Don't be impatient with God, because his timetable is better. If we think that the tree is supposed to bear fruit in the spring and God wants it to bear fruit in the summer, yield to God's plan. Yield to God's plan. There's no advantage in disagreeing with God's plan and his timing. The advantage is to be actively receptive. Be ready to receive and be ready to respond. We had great examples on Sunday when Jesus called the first four of the apostles, the four fishermen. He called them, "Come follow me, I'll make you fishers of men." They dropped what they were doing and they followed. That's good soil. Good example for us. St. Thomas Aquinas is also a good example for us. We don't have to be geniuses, but we do have to be good soil. Even if we have a poor intellect or no education, look at the children at Fatima, the little shepherds. They couldn't even read, and they became great saints. So the issue here is not to be geniuses or to have special gifts, but to be good soil for the word.